Hello there, good morning. Glad to have everyone with us. Hope we've been well rested and enjoyed time together with family and loved ones from the holiday, and that we're well full, but hopefully we'll be nourished in the right way this morning. Well, as Rusty alluded to and what I mentioned before, we are doing part two in our hymn study of trying to understand and get to know hymns better. And these hymns are focused in on our, have to deal with our hymn, our yearly theme. I don't have any more copies, unfortunately, printed. But I'll have all the slides with the lyrics. And also, you can look at your songbooks, but remembering our yearly theme with these various hymns that we're going to be focusing in on today, that these particular hymns come from the list that Eric and I put together. So yearly theme, transforming our hearts, renewing our minds. So that should be at the basis, or we should be able to see connections that are made from each of these hymns. So if you want to open up, if you haven't already, to hymn 506, that's going to be the first one that we focus in on. Again, our hymn study title is Knowing Our Songs or Our Hymns Better. We will not get a full, complete picture of what the hymn is talking about, but that's an encouragement for us to further study, even after we do this specific class. All right, so our first hymn, 506, When My Love to Christ Grows Weak. This is a hymn that we should be all familiar with, especially we sing it quite often prior to our partaking and reflecting upon the Lord's Supper. We look upon, just as a thought about this particular hymn, when the Lord is going through his various trials and his suffering that he's experienced, both emotionally, physically. And it should focus our attention, of course, during those moments right before and during his death. And there is a principal verse that I like to attach and kind of helps me to focus where the hymn is going as far as a message. And for this particular hymn, I think Luke chapter 22 and verse 44. Debbie, if you don't mind opening up and reading that particular verse, Luke chapter 22, verse 44. I think that is a great verse that would be a good verse that kind of encapsulates this particular hymn as a whole.
And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and the sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground.
Yeah, I just think that imagery, the way we could picture that, and if we ever struggle, which I know that we can sometimes go through struggles, just remember how much agony that our Savior endured for our behalf. And as we will reflect upon this hymn, I think that that verse, we'll see that even more so as far as how well that goes with it. All right, who would like to read verse 1 of this hymn, please? John Cullen, age, raise your hand. If you did, go ahead.
And by love to Christ grows weak, when for deeper faith I see. Then in thought I go to thee, and of the
same. I mean, each of these verses, stanzas, very, very powerful. And there was one word, and Rusty actually said it during his prayer, that I connect with each of these. And for verse, and that one word is meditate. And I think that that goes well with each of these verses. And for just verse one, meditate on the garden. as far as an idea. But as far as verse 1, is there a passage that you saw that you felt that connects well with this particular verse? Or is there something specific that sticks out to you? John Reed?
Revelation 2:4, when he addressed the churches, the one in Ephesus, said they had lost their first love. They had done some good things, but they lost the, their passion for what was right.
Thank you. Another person that may have got a verse that really, in their studies, kind of stuck out to them about this first verse? Yes, go ahead, Steve.
Well, not specific verses, but just in what you had Debbie read, just that narration there about Jesus, the whole fact that he is, in his distress, he went to God in prayer. He's our example that when we face challenges, we should go to prayer too. And of course, we know he prayed 3 times in the garden. Virgin. So, he's a good example for us.
There is one particular passage that I want to read for this particular verse. And Martha, would you mind turning in your Bible to 1 John chapter 4 and reading verse 19? This particular passage, I think, just really hit it home for me for this first verse.
1 John, what?
Chapter 4 and verse 19.
We love because he first loved us.
And I just think that again, sets a sets the tone not only for that particular verse, but as corresponding or connecting with that other passage. We just see that overwhelming display of his love being shown throughout this song, and it should make us want to love and connect more with our Lord. Yes, John Cullening.
I feel like I selected verses at the end of the whole song. But
you might have, and that's okay.
Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, that God showed his love for us. And while we
were
sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes, Fred.
Yes, might be fitted throughout the verse. But Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, and no longer I can live. But Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself.
I know that, thank you, Fred. I know that we, for the most part, sing this song and use it for the Lord's Supper, but we can use this at any time and reflect upon this any time during our service. It's just a good reminder, because sometimes we go through trials. Remember how our Lord went through trials and what he did, and hopefully can encourage and strengthen us and showing how he loved us. Yes, Rusty.
I was going to say, thought from that verse one that I get is also that Jesus went to this garden frequently because Judas knew where to go to find him. He knew Jesus would be there because he frequented that place, and it was a place that he could have solitude and go to his Father. And this whole verse talks about that when my love to Christ goes to Greek, I need to get to wherever the place is. I remember the movie that came out years ago called War Room, where the lady just had her closet cleaned out, and she went to that room. She had Bible passages all along the walls, and she went there and prayed to God every day. And we need to go to wherever our place is, where we're comfortable, go to God in prayer. Go there when we have trials and tribulations and pour our heart out to him. And we need to preserve that thought in our heart that we can always go to God when I have trials and tribulations. And the world can't begin to accomplish what God can do. We just need to get that peace as Jesus did when he went to the garden. Even though he knew death was coming, still he prayed to his Father seeking relief and comfort from him. We need to do that.
All right. Let's go with Debbie, and then we need to move on to our next verse. Go ahead, Debbie.
This is just a little piece of that first verse, because what resonates with me, and certainly you don't want your love for Christ to grow weak, but when for deeper faith I seek, it just made me think of Luke 17:5, where he's talking about the stumbling blocks, the inevitable stumbling blocks, and the apostles say, increase our faith.
I had that thought as well, and I appreciate you bringing that up. All right. Verse 2, who would like to read? And this is a continuation on, as far as a main thought for this particular verse, of meditating on the garden and what occurs. Who would like to read verse 2 and what it says? Charlotte.
There I walk amid the shades while the lingering twilight fades. See that suffering, friendless one, weeping, praying there alone.
Now, I like it. It kind of puts us there. I mean, this hymn puts us in the setting and almost feels like we're there in that garden with him in this moment. Of course, we're not physically able to be there, but it should hopefully focus and meditate our hearts and minds even more and put us in a place of, man, he did that for me. Hopefully that would strengthen us to, you know, move on and to press on into that goal that God has for us. Passages, thoughts on verse 2 that came to you. Yes, Charlotte.
Something that I think about often when I'm thinking about Christ is I think about King David and how in a myriad of songs he speaks of being lonely and by himself, and therefore he depends so deeply upon God. And that's what Christ was doing. He was depending on God to let him through that situation.
I mean, really, and don't want to spend too much time because this is just, a further added to the section from verse 1, just a continuation of being focused in on the garden. So I just put down Matthew 26, verses 37 through 44, is that Matthew account of when he was in the garden and asking his inner circle, you know, to watch. And of course, they were not able to for various reasons. And he is, in one sense, alone, but then again, in one sense, he's not alone. But it just puts into perspective that everyone, in a human sense, has abandoned him for that moment. And he has to rely on God for the strength, as we should rely on God for strength if we ever feel alone. Go ahead.
Isaiah 53 that just came to my mind. We use that passage many times. He was rejected, and nobody wasn't comely. Nobody cared for him. And just, you know, the human being might become discouraged and just throw up their hands, but this was the plan of God, that his son would go through this in the garden and everything that was surrounding that so that we could have eternal life.
All right, then in verse or stanza 3, it shifts a little bit in the song. We have moved from the garden. Now the song wants us to reflect heavily our minds and hearts about what transpired at the cross. Who would like to read verse 3? Yes, Fred. So where's our sight headed when we struggle? Do we think of the Lord in those moments of weakness? Are we so consumed about what's going on with me? Or do we think about, Lord, I know you went through these trials and so much more. You can empathize. You can sympathize with me. You can help me get through these difficult trials. You look to the Father. Even in your darkest of times on earth, you always look to the Father to get through any and all situations. I mean, this song just screams out what I need to do. Passages that may have came to mind in this particular verse. Again, meditating on the cross. Ashton, would you mind turn to Luke chapter 23 and reading verse 33? Yes.
And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him with a criminal, one on his right and one on his left.
Again, just getting us to focus in on the setting. And another great passage about not only thinking about the cross, but what ultimately, because of the result of the cross, result of our Lord going to the cross, the hope that our Lord gave us, and we can find that hope being clearly demonstrated throughout the whole chapter, which we will not read, but 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I think, is a good passage to reflect on. And when we get to, and we're going to get ready here and just briefly look at verse 4, which continues this thought on meditating on the cross, the rest of this chapter, or that section, as you say, of chapter 23 in Luke through 46 is just a great section that covers the crucifixion. And you can look at other accounts in the Gospels. But let's go on and look at verse 4. This meditating on the cross idea is still in mind. And who would like to read verse 4 of this hymn? Yes, Hannah. Such powerful words that are used, and just can't get over the fact that during that time he is still serving. That picture of the suffering servant, as was mentioned and as reflected upon in Isaiah 53, where he is still looking out for others. Of course, we know that the one that was crucified alongside him, that hurled at one point insults and then came to, which is beyond me and amazing, that he finally realized, you know what, I do want to know how long it took for him to realize, look, I'm standing here, I'm hurling insults in one moment, and then I have this sort of just this mindset, this change of heart where I realize I'm here for the right reasons, but this man done nothing. Maybe it was when he looked down and hit his mother and took care of his mother. Or maybe it was when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And that prisoner, who was rightfully on the other cross, realized there's something different about this man. He speaks nothing I've heard before. Maybe I should have done things differently. Then he does the amazing thing and just, well, I've got to lose. Will you remember me wherever you're going? I want to be wherever you're headed. Seems like you got a hope that I surely don't have. Rusty?
And the last part of that verse says, love triumph. The idea of love is 1 Corinthians 13 gives a display of what true love is and how it acts in our lives and should be. And this was the epitome of Christ showing that love.
All right, in this last verse, it really just puts everything together. It really kind of reminds us to meditate continually on the cross and in the garden. And hopefully it should guide us to have that one of the desire to serve for and in his kingdom. There's a couple passages that I want us to highlight, but who would like to read verse 5? Yeah, go ahead, Tom. Thank you. Let's see. Anne, would you turn to Hebrews chapter 5, please? And Mary Lou, while she's doing that, will you turn to Luke chapter 9? Do you have Hebrews chapter 5, Anne? Would you read verses 7 through 9? Yeah, I was saying that. That sounded a little bit different than what, but go ahead, chapter 5, 7 through 9. Just, I would love that passage. I just think it speaks well that the Son of God, he learned obedience, perfect obedience. He offered up prayers, even to the point of crying, and God still heard him. He always heard him. And that he, our God, can hear us too in our greatest suffering. And that's where we should always go to. Mary Lou, do you have Luke chapter 9? And would you read verses 23 through 26, please?
And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, and of him will be the Son of Man, be ashamed when he comes in his glory, and the glory of the Father, and of the holy angels.
Just through 26. Thank you. So we have just the emphasis of, let's remember what the cost is, what God is asking of us in Christ, a life that we should seek, one of service and sacrifice to our King. That's what he did. We can do it with his strength. Let's go on to our second hymn, which is Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated. You can either turn to 472 or 474. And I would just, for you, you might be interested, well, why is there multiple tunes or different hymn numbers? Well, if you go to the very beginning of, and you don't have to right now, I'm just referencing it, the writers, the editors, or I should say the editors of this hymn, or the hymnals or songbooks, described why there may be multiple tunes, why we have maybe more than one, why some of our hymns might be different than where you might see, well, I don't remember this particular verse before. And at the beginning, I would encourage you, maybe sometime when you have the time, just look and see what they did. I spoke to one of the editors and said this was a labor of love, and it kind of talks about what they did to go about their task. Sometimes they had to make choices of maybe adding verses or adding additional tunes that people may be more familiar with, or make it easier to follow when a person's trying to lead the song. A group may know a different version. I remember when I came here and someone led, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." That is not the version that I had ever heard. I had heard a completely different one. And I believe we have it in here, but I'm just saying that's an example. And so when we talk about this particular hymn and a principal theme verse, I think Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 is a perfect fit for that, for this particular hymn, that again just kind of speaks to the idea of what the writer is conveying. And Breeze, would you read Romans 12 and verse 1? So this particular hymn, as we will see, it's really reminding us everything belongs to God, that we are to give everything, not hold anything back. Give 100% to serving Him, that we are set apart to be completely holy. Be holy as I am holy. And that we are willing to surrender all aspects of all of our life to the Lord, to His glory. Who would like to read verse 1? Yes, Harrison. People who are able to come up with these hymns certainly have a way with words. Just to get the idea, for verse 1, just the idea of our lives are not our own. Plain and simple. Ashton, would you turn and read 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31? I really wanted that verse to be read for this particular verse.
So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God.
So whatever we do, making sure that it's going towards the glory of our Father in heaven. Brings glory to Christ. Brings glory to the Holy Spirit. Hopefully is to be building up our brothers and sisters in Christ. Other passages, thoughts that came to mind. Yes, Rusty.
When I just took the whole summary of this song, I thought of 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, which tells us basically that we were bought of Christ, we don't own ourselves, and we need to glorify God in our body and everything that we did.
And you said that was 1 Corinthians
6:19-20.
I just want to make sure, because that's what I had at the very end of the song, so I appreciate you reading that, because that was one of the passages that I wanted to have read, and I appreciate you bringing that up. Fits very well with just overall this song and its message. Other thoughts? John Cullening.
Disciples, if anyone should come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Over
whoever would have his life, would save his life, will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What will profit a man if he gains the world and forfeits his soul?
So parallel to the Luke chapter 9 very much goes with what this song is actually asking us to do. Willing to bear that cross. You can picture Jesus walking down, carrying that beam across his back. We are supposed to be willing to carry our own beam, but thankfully, the Lord is there to help shoulder that weight. And hopefully there are brothers and sisters who are also there that we can call upon to help shoulder that weight. Unlike Jesus, Jesus did have someone that came and helped support that weight in that time. I think that was a blessed gift. I don't want to get kind of off on a rabbit trail, but just think of that gift that he had in that moment of agony. He had a little bit of relief. I know it may not look that way, but sometimes thoughts just come to you in a moment, and it's a good idea just to share that sometimes when we could see something that is so important about the point of serving another person in their most dire of circumstance. John Reeve, and then Steve, then we'll go to our next verse.
To devote to a purpose with or as if with deep solemnity or dedication. So most of the definitions lean toward a spiritual dedication. Then I thought of Matthew 6:33, to seek ye first the kingdom of God, all these physical things will be added to.
Thank you for that. That works really well and goes along perfectly. Yes, Steve.
Sort of parallel to that, 2 Timothy 2:21, Paul tells Timothy to be a vessel of honor, that we empty ourselves of worldliness, and we're consecrated or set apart. Our whole being, we're filled with God's will to do good work.
Thank you. Appreciate you bringing up that passage. It works perfect. All right, verse 2. Who would like to read verse 2? Emily, if you wouldn't mind. Thank you. Let's see. Ron, would you mind reading Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24? I want to at least read that passage. I like how the author of this particular hymn, chapter 3 of Colossians, verses 23 and 24.
Whatever you do it heartily as for the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance for you.
So doing things, this similar idea that was covered in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, but here in verse 2, breaking down the various aspects, am I using my hands really well for his glory? I know it may sound a little bit strange, but am I walking, am I feet, are they headed in that right direction of the kingdom? Am I being useful? Am I using the gifts that God has given me? And sometimes, I like how the author, as I was getting ready to say, breaks it down to the individual parts. Really gets specific. Like my eyes, my ears, my seeing what God wants me to see, my hearing what God wants me to hear. All right. Let's go to verse 3. Who would like to read stanza 3? Yes, Breeze.
Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from me.
In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 11, the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" In that section, Moses was making up excuses, and there was that interaction, and of course, not wanting to be the servant that he needed to be. Am I making up excuses? Hopefully not. But of course, God gives us the ability to sing, gives us that privilege, gives us the ability to speak. One of the most common used passages. We won't go right now to there, but it reminds us of we're commanded to sing. Colossians 3 and verse 16. And then a very similar parallel passage in Ephesians 5 and 19. Just the importance, as Rusty, I think, again, highlighted in his prayer. So we should make sure is what's coming forth from my mouth, whether it be just the conversations I have, the words that I use, and the when I'm singing, is it from the heart? Am I have the right thoughts? It should be all for His glory. No, we're moving through a little bit fast, but I want to get through at least this particular hymn. And again, I want to encourage whatever we don't cover, it doesn't exclude or challenge you to do continual studies, reflection on your own time of what we discussed and what we haven't discussed. That's what I think is one of our benefits that we have of studying hymns. And we should take time because how often, I wanted to offer this as a challenge because we probably won't get to our third hymn. Most often, we can maybe possibly recall, like, who spoke and what message from the previous week. Like, what was the sermon on? Because our brother, John Cullinane, had a message on 3 R's. Recognize, renounce, replace. But how often, if ever, do we remember what did we sing during that service? I know I will never probably say I can say I recall a single hymn. So I would challenge us. Let's just not look at the board, sing what comes on the screen. Why not take a hymnal with you, reflect more on what was just sung at home in the afternoon or in the evening. Take a picture with your phone and reflect upon what was sung. Yes, Tom, and then we'll move on to the next verse. Thank you. All right, this is going to look a little bit different, and you might kind of raise your eyebrows, but this is actually verse 4. Who would like to read verse 4? Yes, Ron. Verse 4 is on the screen. It's not in your books. This is where I was going to get to. If you just want to read on the screen.
Take my silver and my gold.
No, but the original author had six stanzas to this particular hymn. I don't know if you all found this in your studies, but verse 4 is not in your hymnals. And I cannot, with the definite answer as to why it may not be in there, but I have a pretty good idea. When I was looking at the background of this particular hymn, I came across a quote from the actual author of this song, and I think when you hear what this person said about this song, as to this is why it may have not have made into our hymnals. This is what this composer said. The Lord has shown me another little step, and of course I have taken it with extreme delight. Take my silver and my gold now means shipping off all my ornaments to the church missionary home, including a jewel cabinet that is really fit for a countess, where all will be accepted and disposed of for me. Nearly 50 articles are being packed up. I don't think I ever packed a box with such pleasure. The reason why I think that and believe that this did not make our hymnals is there is probably a concern that it would be promoting institutions. That aside, this, just reading it, is still worth something that could be reflected upon. If you did your studies, you could, in that message of reading this particular verse, still say amen. I believe you could. Yes, Fred. Well, as I appreciate you sharing that, and just a thought, I know that some, and it's in the beginning of the songbook, that talks about why certain verses were maybe not included. So that's why another reason why I would suggest looking at reading that, like that preface. There is one passage that I want to read in regards to this hymn, and then I will close it. Comes from 1 Chronicles 29. Moreover, in my delight in the house of my God, the treasure I have of gold and silver, give to the house of my God over and above that all that I have already provided for the holy temple, namely 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the buildings, of gold for the things of gold, and of silver for the things of silver, that is, for all the work done by the craftsman. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? So just a great passage reflecting on material blessings in our mind of, do we offer them, or are we willing to offer them to God? Do we see that they belong ultimately to God? I know we didn't get through this particular hymn, or The Way of the Cross Leads Home. Just one final thought as far as The Way of the Cross Leads Home. Just view that as your compass, as an idea for thinking about that particular hymn, that the only way is by the cross, which directs us to heaven. And that is our compass, which leads, hopefully, to the where we want to go. I appreciate you all's thoughts. Hopefully, you gained some benefit from these two studies. May, hopefully, down the road, do further studies in this manner. You let me know if you got much out of it, and would like further attention to our hymns. Thank you all so much.